And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I want to talk to you this afternoon, and I'll try to be brief this afternoon. I want to talk to you about waiting for the whirlwind. The life of Elijah, as we have seen, we could really say, had been a whirlwind of activity in a lot of ways. Remember how Elijah came on the scene? Pretty much out of nowhere, God told Elijah to go stand before Ahab, the most powerful man in the world at the time, and declare, Thus saith the Lord. And then we see from that time that there's not going to be any rain or dew, and there's going to be this famine, this drought. We see from there that he stepped out in faith and he had to go and trust the Lord. God put him by the brook Kerith until the brook dried up, and then God moved him to the widow's house, and there he had to trust the Lord with provision, and there God used him to raise her son from the dead. And then we move into chapter 18 and we find this great victory that Elijah experiences with the power of God on Mount Carmel. And after that mountaintop experience, then we see Elijah, you know, fall into, and then God restore him from this time of discouragement and defeat in his life. And Elijah then is used of God again in another manner. And Elijah's life has been this tempestuous, at times, whirlwind of activity in his life, and used of God greatly, certainly. But now we find in this passage that his mortal life is about to come to an end. Verse 1 of our text makes it clear that God is about to remove the prophet from this mortal life, and he's going to leave like he lived, in a whirlwind of activity. And as Elijah lives out the last days and hours of his life, it's interesting to see how Elijah conducted himself. Elijah didn't live like a man who knows his time is very short, as maybe some would. Elijah lives faithfully, still serving the Lord, as if he's got all kinds of time to serve God with. And it's this period of time that I want us to look at right before Elijah is taken up into heaven, not just for Elijah, but also for Elisha as well. And there's some applications for us along the way. We're going to see two things. We're going to see Elijah's example and then Elisha's emulation. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us with your word. and challenges with it today. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, consider Elijah's example with me. In verses 8 through 11, note here that Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah did not spend his last days on this earth on the bench, as it were. Elijah was busy. Elijah was serving. Notice verses 2 and verses 4 and verses 6. In verse 2, "And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." In verse 4, "Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." Verse 6, he says the same thing, "For the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." Elijah, even in the last days of his life, is listening to the voice of God, receiving instruction from the Lord, and obeying the Lord. Elijah is still busy serving the Lord right up to the very end. Notice what he was doing as he was waiting for the whirlwind. He was an example to Elisha. He was an example, first of all, of trusting. In verse 8, we saw how he took his mantle and he wrapped it together and he smote the waters and they were divided hither and thither and they went over on dry ground. In verse 8, even at the end of Elijah's life, he's still walking by faith and trusting in the power of God. When he and Elisha come to the river Jordan, they need to cross over. And so Elijah does what he's always done. He expected the impossible from the Lord, and he received it by faith. How many times have we seen this in Elijah's life? Trusted the Lord by faith, and miracles happened with the power of God. Even right at the very end, Elijah is an example of trusting the Lord. And it appears that Elijah never reached a place in his life where he said, or come to the place where he said, "Well, I've seen God do all that God's able to do. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to take my ease and I'm just going to wait for God to take me out of here." Yeah, he experienced a momentary lapse in his life, but Elijah never came to the place where he unhooked the plow and where he stopped trusting in the Lord. What an example. Because you know what? No matter how long you and I have walked with the Lord, no matter what we've seen God do in our lives, no matter how we've seen God work through us, there's never going to come a day when you and I should stop trusting in the Lord. I mean, until we stand in His image, in the presence of the Lord in heaven, we are commanded to walk by faith. And nothing else will please the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 is clear. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Romans 14:23 says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And here's the truth. When we stop trusting in the Lord, we start dishonoring God. Let me say it again. When we stop trusting in the Lord, we start dishonoring God. Elijah was an example of trusting the Lord and His power right up to the very end. Secondly, we see Elijah as an example of not only trusting, but an example of training. Because in verse 9, in verse 10, it says, "It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." In verse 10, Elijah says to Elisha, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so." We're going to talk about these verses more another time. But today, What we find here is that as Elijah and Elisha walk together, Elijah spends his last moments with Elisha teaching him about obedience and faithfulness. And the example of that is in the request that Elisha asks or makes of Elijah. And he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. But then Elijah puts some stipulations on it. And he says, if you see me when I'm taken away, it's going to be so unto you. But if not, it's not going to be so. Elijah attaches some stipulations to this request for its fulfillment. And basically, the thought is that Elijah is still instilling or testing and training into Elisha faithfulness. Elisha needed to be faithful to stay with Elijah to the very end in order for this to be true. And the truth of the matter was, for Elisha to be faithful in future ministry, he needed to demonstrate that today. And Elijah was still training and investing into Elisha at this point. And my thought is, Elijah's an example of trusting in the Lord, but he's an example of training as well. And there's an application here for us, because there's another generation that's coming behind us. What are we instilling in them and teaching them about faith? What are we instilling and teaching them about obedience to God and His will? How much of an emphasis and how important do we make obedience to God and His will a priority in the lives of our children? Teaching them that there's nothing more important in your life than serving God. And then them seeing that in the example that their parents live. What are we teaching them about faithfulness to God's house? And faithfulness to the Lord's work. What are we training them? How are we training them? They're learning. Do they see the example of faithfulness in their parents? Commitment to God's house? The work of the Lord? What are we teaching them about love for God's Word? Are we instilling in them a love for the Lord and a love for His Word by what they see in our example? It's dad's job to teach his sons. It's a lady's job to teach her daughters. And it's not just in our own families either. We owe it to each other to be this kind of an example. Look at Titus chapter 2. We could talk much about this. And for the sake of time, we can't. I think you get the point of the necessity for training and teaching and faithfulness in it consistently. Titus 2 and verse 2 says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. These are all things that, according to verse 1, become sound doctrine. And there's a responsibility for the saints of God that we have to each other to be teachers of these good things. We owe it to each other to be this example. And Elijah was an example of training to Elisha. And we see the application here, and we understand that that's quite a challenge. Quite a challenge to be consistent, to be faithful in training. We see, thirdly, that Elijah was an example of traveling his own road. And I had to call it that for the sake of alliteration in the outline. But look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Note that the Bible says here that as they still went on. I thought about this for a few minutes and I thought, you know, what an example. What a picture. Here's Elijah. He knows at the end of his life, the Lord is about to take him. Verses 2, verses 4, verses 6 tell us that he's still listening to the Lord. The Lord hath sent me. He's still serving the Lord. He's an example in these things. And then you get to verse 11, and the Bible says, and as they still went on, Elijah found no stopping place in his life. A place where he could just unhook, as it were, and go out to pasture. I've lived my life. I've served the Lord. I've done a lot of things for a long time. Now I can just relax and rest and wait for the Lord. He still went on, the Bible says. And it was as he was going that the Lord sent the chariot of fire. What a life Elijah lived. What an exit he experienced. Can you imagine watching that or being a part of that? Here you are walking with your master. You're talking. He's teaching. He's training. You love your master. And then all of a sudden, there appears a chariot of fire out of heaven and horses of fire. And the Bible says that it parted them asunder. And the Lord carried Elijah away. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Can you imagine the life of Elijah? A whirlwind. But I think what's more impressive is that while Elijah waited for what he knew was inevitable, he remained faithful and he kept serving the Lord. What a lesson for us. The Lord may come for us today. The rapture may happen today. Or today could be the day that we leave this world through death. But you know what? The truth is, it could be a while yet too. We don't know. We know that the Lord's return is inevitable. We do. But may I encourage you today, saint of God, still go on. Still go on until the Lord calls us to leave this world. Faithfully serve the Lord. This is the example of Elijah. He didn't sit back. He didn't take his ease. He continued to serve the Lord right to the very end. And I think that's a great example for us. But then secondly, we see Elisha's emulation. Go back to verse 2, verses 2 through 6. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Three times this happens where Elijah says, the Lord hath sent me. And three times Elijah says to Elisha, why don't you just stay here? But three times Elisha says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you. Elisha would eventually take over the ministry of Elijah as a prophet of the Lord. But it would mean a great deal of responsibility for this young prophet. The question was, would he be up for the challenge? Would he be equal to it? Would he have what was needed to be a faithful servant of the Lord? The power that Elisha would need, that wasn't a problem because the power was going to come from God. But Elisha would need some spiritual character to face the trials and the pressures of their time. He would need courage. He would need endurance. He would need faithfulness. He would need loyalty. He would need longings that were given of the Lord, that were in line with God's priorities. And after spending so much time as Elijah's servant, apprentice, if you will, Elijah being his mentor, months and months probably of time with Elijah, would Elisha be willing to continue on alone or with the Lord? Or could he be persuaded to throw in the towel and quit? Well, notice again that the three times in verses 2, verses 4, and verses 6, that every time Elijah says, the Lord hath sent me, that he also asks Elisha to stay where they were while he journeyed on. First it was from Gilgal to Bethel. Then it was from Bethel to Jericho. And then from Jericho, finally, to Jordan. We read in the text here that at both Bethel and Jericho, there were schools for training of prophets. Perhaps Elijah was going to each of these places, and God was allowing him to do that to encourage these servants of the Lord and say farewell to them. And every time Elijah says to Elisha, "Why don't you just stay here while I go on?" Our text doesn't say why Elijah requested Elisha to stay behind. But we can surmise that it was certainly a test for Elisha, a test of his faithfulness, a test of his loyalty. And each time, we see that Elisha refused to stay behind, and he used what's called a double oath to show his tenacity, his determination to stay with his master. He says, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you." I think it teaches us some things about this man Elisha and the kind of character that he had, and even the kind of character that God wants us to have. First of all, it tells us and shows us that Elisha was humble and had a teachable spirit about him. He was humble and had a teachable spirit. I would think that by this time, in Elisha's own life and in his own ministry, as a servant of Elijah, a student of Elijah, Elisha probably knew a great deal. He was probably fairly well experienced. But I think he also knew that he really had only begun. And isn't really that the case with all of us? Really, no matter at what point or stage we are in life, none of us have a corner on knowing God. And none of us have ever reached the place where we know it all. Elisha seemed to be a man who was humble and had a teachable spirit, who was still eager to learn and experience more of knowing the Lord. We need to have a humble and a teachable spirit about us. You know, we can have a lot of experience in life, and experience can be a good teacher, but our own experience doesn't give us a handle on and a corner on knowing the Lord. The moment that we come to the place where we can't be taught anything is really the moment that we really become a fool. We always need to be teachable. We always need to have a humble spirit. You know, my pastor used to always say this: you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. You know, there's a lot of people who've gone before us, who've been there and done that. And when we are experiencing things in our own life, you know, places we've never been before, we can borrow experience. We can borrow brains. What should I do in this situation? The thing that we can't borrow is character. The humility that is there enough to say, "Hey, I need some help. I need some instruction. What would you do, or what have you done in this situation? I want to do the best that I can by my children for the Lord." It takes some humility to get advice. And I've said this probably 100 times, I don't know. You know what, as a pastor, I don't want to control your life. I don't want to tell you what to do. But there's nothing wrong. Listen, there's nothing wrong with saying, in fact, there's all kinds of wisdom in this. When we come to crossroads in our life, when we come to decisions, whatever it is, and we've got an idea in our mind of what we'd like to do, there's nothing wrong, and there's all kinds of wisdom in saying, "Hey, you know, pastor, I just want to bounce something off of you. Here's what I'm thinking about. Here's what I've been praying about. And I feel like the Lord may be leading this way, but is there anything about this that you might see that might be a red flag, or Pastor Humphrey or somebody else who's a godly example, to just to bounce it off of someone and say, what do you think?" It takes some character and some humility to be teachable. Because none of us are ever going to get to the place where we have a corner on knowing God and we know it all. Usually the reason people won't ask for advice is because of pride. Or because they know that what they're intending to do or what they want to do is not going to be something that's well advised. They don't want to hear it. And so they don't get advice. That's often the case. And what we need is a humble and a teachable spirit. Elisha seemed to be a man who was eager to stay by his master, to stay by his mentor, to learn and experience more of his own relationship with the Lord. Secondly, in this example of where Elijah says, why don't you stay here? And Elisha says, no, I'm not going to leave you. It shows us that he was a man who was loyal and who was committed. Elijah could certainly use the help, the companionship over these journeys. And Elisha's heart and his mindset to stay by his side, it demonstrated his commitment in his service to his master. You know what? Being a servant is the most fundamental requirement of leadership. It shows Elisha really cared for Elijah. And you know what we need in our churches? You know what we need in this church? Is we need loyal saints of God who aren't looking for themselves, who aren't looking for what they can get out of other church members, what they can get out of the pastors. What we need is servants who are genuinely concerned for others and determined to find a way to be a help and a blessing to other people. We need a whole church full of those kinds of people. People who are loyal, people who are committed. By contrast, so often, maybe not necessarily here, but in Christianity in general, probably in many churches, people are often too quick to criticize, to cut others down when we ought to be looking for ways to help. You know, it's easy to nitpick and it's easy to sit back and criticize. Well, I just don't like the way that this isn't working very well. Or instead of finding a way to help, I'd rather sit back and criticize. Elisha was loyal. Elisha was committed. Thirdly, this instance shows that he was also devoted to the calling of God in his own life. He knew, chosen by the Lord, that he was a prophet of the Lord to take over after Elijah moves on. This proves that Elisha was devoted to God's calling. It means that God's priorities and God's goals directed and controlled Elisha's life. The Lord had called him. The Lord had gifted him. He was called to the work of a prophet. He very easily could have been ruled by other desires that could turn his course and make him unavailable for God to use. Where did we find Elisha? Plowing, right? Probably from a fairly wealthy family, even. He could have pursued other avenues. But Elisha was devoted to God's calling. He wasn't going to leave his master, his mentor. That was the test for Elisha. And it showed that he was a man of character, a man who was teachable, who was humble, who was loyal, who was devoted. But then, lastly, we see the lesson for Elisha in all of this. In verse 8, we read how Elijah took his mantle and he folded it together and he struck the waters of Jordan. We read how the waters divided and the two prophets crossed over on dry ground, just like at the Red Sea with Moses, and just like at the Jordan River with Joshua when he led the people of God into the promised land. This was certainly a demonstration of Elijah's faith, yes, but it was also an important lesson for Elisha. Because the same God who worked in power for Elijah would also enable Elisha both to be and to do all that was needed for his work and for him to be the successor to Elijah. I can imagine that this event here, this was a remarkable thing, and it probably stood as a reminder and a constant source of strength, of faith for Elisha in his ministry. And even to all those who would witness it. Verse 14 says, this is Elisha now, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. No doubt, this event stood as a constant reminder of his source of strength. What a lesson that the same God who works so mightily in power for Elijah would also work in power through Elisha. And you know what? We serve the very same God today, friends. We can't all be Elijah. We can't all be Elisha in the sense of these kinds of miracles. However, God is still working providentially in a multitude of ways. He works through His Word in power. He works through people in our lives. He works through circumstances of life, trials, blessings. He works through His Spirit. God is still working in a multitude of ways, and He's still the same God of power. I wonder if we miss out on so much. We never live or believe that God can show Himself powerfully, in miraculous ways even, in our own life. Maybe not the parting of the Chena River, but through His Word, through His Spirit, powerful to change people's lives through our influence with the gospel. Let me close just by asking a couple of questions and some questions that you need to ask yourself. All right? Number one, am I like Elijah, seeking to be a blessing to others and to be used of God throughout my life right up to the very end? Can you ask the question again? Am I like Elijah, seeking to be a blessing to others and used of God throughout my life right up to the very end? Or have I placed myself on the shelf with a hoard of excuses as to why I can't? Lots of people can come up with excuses, right? But I don't know that any excuse is worthy when the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. Another question, am I like Elisha? Truly committed to the Lord's work, no matter what that may be, and needing the needs of my family, meeting the needs of my church, even in people's lives in the community. Am I like Elisha, committed to the Lord's work? Or is there something else that draws my life? Here's the third question. Am I loyal? Am I committed under all circumstances like Elisha? As a servant, as a disciple of the Lord, even as one who might be behind the scenes, just trusting and obeying. Am I loyal and committed? Am I willing to accept God's assignment, whatever that assignment might be? Am I available for the Lord to use? Only you know your own heart. But I know human nature. Human nature wants to live for self. Human nature wants to do what pleases me. When God has created me to give glory to Him. And we regularly need to do some re-examining of the priorities of our life. What really drives me? What really consumes my thinking? What consumes my thoughts? What is my motive? What is my purpose? What am I pursuing after, really? We regularly need to do some evaluation in that. Because anything that takes the place of what God's perfect will is in my life becomes an idol, becomes something that can dishonor the Lord. It's not wrong to do other things, but what is the priority? What is the drive? What is it right here, down inside, that motivates me? Is it the Lord's work, the Lord's will? Or is it for self? Elijah was a good example of faithfulness right to the very end. Elisha emulated that example in his own life. That's a good example for us as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these examples, and help us, Lord, to be determined like Elisha. To be faithful, to be loyal, to be committed, to be humble, to be teachable. And Lord, may we in turn be the kind of example that Elijah was. Faithfulness to the Lord right to the very end. And Lord, I pray that You'd use Your people and encourage us, and Lord, even cause us to take a moment to meditate, think, evaluate. And if there's some reordering of priorities in our life. Lord, may we be humble before you to do so, so that you might receive glory out of our lives. There's never a time when we should stop trusting. There's never a time when we should unhook from the plow. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be that kind of people, those kind of people, faithful to give glory to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.